Right, Hilda, could you tell me where your farm was and the name of it?
Sheldon House of Rund, near Sheen.
Right.
And it only milked about 20-some cows, and then my father and my eldest, my other brother, he's younger than me though, they altered it and made it to die 39, but wasn't many nowadays, but we managed it, and it was all hard work, shall I say. When my sister got married in 1949, she was a good milker. Me and my brother weren't very good milkers, doing handwork. It was handwork then. And he says, I slapped to order a milking machine, which he did. And we had a milking machine. And it was always my job. I was married to the job, washing the milking machine. I've seen them fetch me out of the hayfield, come and wash the milking machine. And I've done that till we gave over milking. I was 80 when we gave over milking. But the eldest brother, he got married 1953 or 1954, and then he left home, went to below Ashbourne farming. Of course, it left me with the youngest brother. He was 10 years younger than the other brother. And my mother said, when she died, she says to me, you've never asked for anything. You ought to have all I've got, but I can't do that. Your dad must look after you. And she says, will you look after John if anything happens to me? She'd always spoiled him, being the youngest one, which I have done. I've looked after him. He had dementia. He died 2 years ago, and I've helped him. He'd all the property, and he died without making a will. Of course, it made things very, very awkward. Of course, he made no will, and it's all had to be sold. Money piled up on the table, and me sister and brother got as much as I did. And I always tell people, I shall never complain, because it's worth nothing. I come with nothing, and I shan't take anything out. I put my life, even to my parents, and well, my eldest brother, I was good with him, and when he went left the farm, I went and visited him. And then my youngest brother, I was obliged to no one to help him. So I couldn't leave him very well, although I started drawing the pension when we were farming. But no, I stayed with him. In fact, when he went out of the house the last time, he had to go in hospital a bit. And he says, thanks very much for helping me when he left the house, and which I did.
So how many years did you work on that farm then, from being a girl? I guess you started when as quite a small child, helping out a bit, didn't
yes,
you?
Getting sticks on, and then coal in at night, ready for next day. I remember doing that. And
as a little girl, was that?
As a little girl, until I left school, and then I helped my father. Of course, when my brother left school, he didn't do as much. It was a big garden, and decorating, I did that. And, of course, I've been busy all my life. And then when my father died in 1976, my brother was left the farm, the little brother, I'll call him. Of course, he'd no one to help him, and I've helped him a long life's way till he was taken poorly. We give over milking, I was 80 anyway.
So when was it your dad passed away?
1976.
1976.
My mother, 74. Turned 40 then, and he left 2 years after. The first 12 months, he were all right. As soon as he'd been dead 12 months, he liked as though he went to bits. And didn't go himself. He went his own way. And he wasn't the same. And shall I say, he left me brother the property. And, of course, I'd no home, but what did I do when he helped John, I'll say? And, of course, if he'd have got a girlfriend, perhaps he'd had a family and I should have to have gone. But, anyway, I stayed with him. I helped him till I drew the pension at 60.
How many of them are there, then? Is your older brother?
There are four of us, two brothers and two sisters. Right. And my sister, I say she died last year. My sister, 97, which 99 next month, in September. She'd have been 99. My brother, John, he thought he'd live forever, perhaps, same as her.
So who was left on the farm then? It was you and your dad and your younger brother?
Yeah, my younger brother, he was in at home, as I stayed with. But my older brother, he left He got married in 1953, but he left in 1960. But he's working for himself, him and his wife, on a farm at the other side of Ashbourne. He was working for himself. Of course, my father was working for him till he turned over to John. I don't know if I had a wage or not. I never complained, shall I say, which was silly.
So you carried on working on that farm till you were 80?
Yeah. Yeah, we're milking, but yeah. I stayed with John up to his death, I'll say, two years ago.
So you were working really hard. What sort of work were you doing? I know you said you did lots of work in the dairy all those years, didn't you?
Yeah, gardening, decorating, keeping the house. It was a big house, keeping it clean. General jobs, keeping it tidy and clean.
Well, it's a huge amount to manage, isn't it? Yeah.
So all to no sense nowadays, but you could do... I mean, in olden times, there were bigger families, weren't they?
So how do you feel about all that now?
Sometimes I say to people, I'd have looked after myself more, but I didn't do it. For one thing, I thought a lot of my mother, and I wouldn't want to leave her. I know I once chanced to go to Canada for some relatives of this Professor Sheldon, come looking where he lived, and he said I could go and stay with them a little while. And, of course, it arranged to go. Of course, my mother thought I should go and never come back, and she didn't want me to go, and I never went. And I never complained, that's how I put it, I never complained.
Your mother was the one who was you were closest to.
Yeah. My father, all right, we'd make you work and strict, if you know what I mean, old-fashioned ways. But nowadays, he'd say I'm doing it myself, wouldn't they? But
do you think he didn't appreciate you? Is this a thing that you thought?
Well, it was how he'd been brought up. He said how he'd been brought up, and he think we should do the same beyond him. But my mother were kinder.
You must have been devastated when you lost your mother.
Yeah, very.
How old was she?
75.
Not very old.
No,
then, really.
Not nowadays. Not with me being 90.
No. I wonder if we can go back to the happier times, like your earliest memories of that farm. Had your family always, have they had it going back generations?
No, Professor Sheldon lived there, bought it in 1913, I think, and then I think he left it till my father got married in 1920. My sister was born, and of course it was old-fashioned farming, you know, in them days, horses. Of course, I went to Sheen School all my life, and it's closed now. Then I left school and helped my father outside, because my next brother, he was 4 years younger, and I had to help my father with the horses. And, of course, the war was on. And, of course, I helped him outside with the horses. And he'd let me work one horse myself, but there's two horses, he had to be there. And he did so much ploughing and drawing rows up, and when there was two horses, I had to be in the middle, because one went a bit quicker than the other, and I had to pull it back. He'd just tell me, pull it back. And I'd wear high-top shoes then, and they kept kicking soil, and nowadays say I'm not doing it, but you had to do what you were told in them days.
So tell me about the horses and what else was going on the farm. It was always a dairy farm, was it, from the early days?
When my father come, he must have started milking, I should say, and he had to alter the cow sheds, and then my other eldest brother, he did a bit more, made him, I mean, 40 wasn't many then. Nowadays.
It was a huge number then.
Well,
39 cows during the war was a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
What did the horse work involve in those days?
Well, chain harrowing, and then when we were ploughing, drawing rows up. When it was ploughed, you'd work the soil up, and then you'd draw rows, set cabbages, or... I remember setting turnips, that was one horse then, and he set the turnip seeds, and when they grew up along the rows, you had to go thinning them, and that was one of my jobs, go thinning turnips. And it was a back-aching job, pulling all these and leaving one, and it was a back-aching job. And then, went back end, you pull the turnips up, topped and tailed them, as we called them, and then had to bring them home and put them in the corner of the yard and fetch them in during the winter. Oh, my father had a turnip cut or something to do with the electric, and it made it a lot easier than doing by hand.
And that was winter feed, part of the winter feed?
Yeah. In summer, when you lose them, you have to go up out of the yard onto the road, and there was three farms then days in the Brund, and you could get them mixed up at times. But you see, me and, of course, me next brother, we were always available, you know, to run up and down and watch them.
Watch, what were you watching? Sorry, the...
You know, they'd be bringing milking as well.
Yeah. It's,
and they, you know, bringing them their way, or one farmer go that way.
I'm with you.
We were the middle one.
So it's a bit tricky. You've got three herds all kind of moving at the same time.
Yeah. Mm.
Right, so you had to move them all and keep your eye on getting into a muddle.
Mm.
So what kind of cattle did you have then?
Short arms when I left school, and then they went on to Frisians gradually.
Was that British Frisians?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. What do you remember about the short arm cattle? Were they nice cattle to work with? Were they gentle?
Yeah, very gentle. Mm. Well, they had arms in them days, mm-hmm. and then they got, as they had them deorned as time went on, and then they got as the ear tags in, as you call them. Mm-hmm. I mean, all that's come along the way, and now I don't know what they do.
And so you were not a great hand milker?
Not a hand, no. As soon as my sister got married, and that's what my father says, I still have to have a machine, milking machine now, because me and my next brother, we weren't good milkers, but, you know, played about a bit, I think. I mean, my father made the stools you sat on, and I know mine was two little cuts in the middle. We always had our own stools, and just a favourite, I think it was. Mm.
So do you think of those as happy days, doing that?
A lot happier than today.
In what way?
More content. We were busy, but more content. I mean, no one's time for you. If anything's sold, strangers buy them. They might be sociable and might not. And I think they were happier days. You knew everyone. And you, of course, no televisions, and you go visiting your relatives. And you don't do that nowadays. It's the same.
It was a simpler life, wasn't it?
Simpler, yeah. Very simple, wasn't it?
Yes. Were you ever afraid of the horses?
No.
Why was that?
Well, I was used to them. You see, when I was young, we went to Leek with a horse and float, and left the horse at down that first pub going down Buxton Road on the right. I know we used to leave it there.
You just used to wait?
Well, I suppose so. I should be young then.
Going back to the horses, did you drive them very much? Did you have a wagon or anything, or a pony and trap? You didn't get around using the horses in that way. Were they just for working on the farm?
Just working on the farm, yeah.
Mm. Mm. What was their temperament like? Were they nice?
Well, there was a brown one, as I used to like, very quiet. And now this white one, she was more for going like the devil, shall I say. And, you know, she's a bit dangerous for me, but I never worked for myself. But the brown one, I could chain arrow myself with it, and I could, if you fetched a horse now and gave me some bridles and gearing, I could do it. Get the collar, turn it round and put it on, and then turn it back. Got to have a knack at putting the collar on, and then the bridles, and then the gearing on the back.
Mm. Could you just tell me, what your working day was like back in the war years? Because how old would you have been then? Not very old, would you?
I was 14 when I left school, and the war broke out when I was 11. Mm. I was at Grindon, staying with my auntie, and I remember that. Her standing there with a friend down the road, waiting for Chamberlain. He was the Prime Minister then, and they were waiting for the news coming out at 11 o'clock. And I can remember him standing there waiting, and put the wireless, it could be wireless then, and they said, Chamberlain, he wasn't Prime Minister, I don't think, very long. And anyway, when Chamberlain gave it out, we were at war. And I always remember my auntie standing there crying, wondered what the end would be.
During the war, obviously, lots of farms were being asked by the government, weren't they, to dig for victory. So did you do new ploughing then?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember my father was ploughing. You know, newly ploughed fields that hadn't been ploughed before.
So were you ploughing up some of your old hay fields then?
Yeah. Mm.
How much haymaking did you do? Did you have lots of good hay fields on in Brunt? Was it good ground?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But not saying that now they go and mow a field out in two or three fields, but just a little bit they mow and look after that little bit.
So how big were your hay fields? Were they little ones?
Well, varied. 5 acres and 7 acres. The first one we had, my father always went first. And about 2 acres, that was. And he always went there first and got all the other halves. And then they went in this field. It had grown a second crop. And he always thought a lot of this field.
Because it was always good hay, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Well, it was all good hay, but that was excellent. I think this Professor Sheldon must have put some different seed in it.
Oh, right. Mm. So can you remember the wildlife in the hay meadows in those early days? Can you remember the things you used to see?
Pewits, you called them, don't you? There was always lots of nests up and down. And same with the cuckoo. You'd hear the cuckoo. I never heard that for years and years and years. And same with the pewits. You'd see, you'd go what you call pewit egging. You wouldn't allow it now. And go and get in pewit eggs when we were children. And there was nests up and down, various fields. Some fields would have a lot in, and another field would have none.
Got the curlew then as well, did
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, curlew and owls. With me and my brother, just before he was staying poorly, we've had the peat bark let us have some buildings to don't do up. And there was two buildings, and I think the peat bark were more concerned about the owls than the buildings being done up. And this niece has bought this ground. I've inquired, I think the owls are still there, but the other little barn with the owls in, someone else bought it. I don't know how that's going on.
That's the trouble, isn't it? So many barns have been converted
that
the barn owls have got nowhere to go.
No, that's right.
No, it's a tragic thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you remember watching the owls when you were...
Well, no, I don't remember watching them, really, because perhaps being young, we shouldn't be interested in them. Not like them as swallows and thrushes and robins, all them. There's lots of them, weren't they? Being young, I don't remember the owls.
But you remember that as a happy childhood, do you? Being
oh,
a country child.
Yeah. And like I went to school with a friend next door. We're always the same age, and she's dead. And the last one among us, they were saved yesterday up at Sheen. And she's same age as me, but within a month. And she's about the only one left, and they were always happy days, shall I say.
Did you think it was quite a friendly community around where you were?
Oh, yeah, very. Mm.
So you weren't really isolated there,
were
you?
No. There was three farms and three cottages. And like, everyone was friendly. And you see, you knew everyone up the village. Now, if I go up the village, I have to be taken. I hardly know anyone. They're all different.
So when you were working with the horses, can you talk me through how you'd start your day? And because you did this for quite a long time, didn't you? It wasn't just a few years. You did it for a long time, didn't you? So how old were you when you first started?
Well, I shouldn't be very old. Like when I go with my father, and he had someone working with him. And I remember going with them, sitting on the horse's back. And then when I left school, of course, I worked with my father, and along with the horses, till one of the neighbours have got two boys, of course, the Edward Stafford's tractor. There was a big snow in 1947, they had a tractor. Anyway, the year after, my brother, being the next one, having patience with horses, had a tractor. Of course, all tractors then, but I did learn, as my brother, what I found with, I could drive a tractor well. But it weren't like the horse days. But they were slow. That's the trouble. They haven't time. As time goes on, they haven't time for the horses, have they?
What were your feelings about that when you made that big change? It was the change for everywhere, wasn't it? The end of the working horse. Did you feel sadness about that?
Well, my brother sort of, next brother, he sort of took over, and I said, do with my father bits and jobs with horses, but as time went on, he got doing them with the tractor, and no patience with horses. That's the trouble with the younger people, they had no patience. And he sat a tractor on the back sides.
So when you were working with the horses, can you talk me through how you'd start your day? First thing you'd have to do is you catch the horses. They're out in the fields, presumably.
Yeah. Well, you go with a little bit of corn in the bucket, and that's how you catch them. Get a halter and put it on them and bring them home. Of course, put them in the stable. And at dinner time, in wartime, I remember when my father and me helping him, he used to work them till what you call sweat. And he'd have his dinner and he'd wait a while he had a rest. And he'd listen to the news at 1 o'clock, see what the war were doing, then go back and fetch the horses.
They were stabled up through the winter, were they?
I shouldn't say they'd stay outside unless it was very bad, because that 1947 snow, that was terrible. And my father had to take the milk to Artington Factory. That was before we got a tractor. And he had to go through the fields down to Artington. And there was two ways to Artington. They didn't open one way, they kept the other. And when they got the milk away, it'd snow again and they'd have to rid that road again. It was hard work.
How did he do that?
Men with the spades.
How did they carry the milk?
Well, with a cart.
A horse and cart.
Yeah.
You could get the horses through.
Well, they must have got the horses through, yeah.
Because I've read somewhere that some people quite near Hartington had a sledge.
Yeah, well,
he'd take a horse and a sledge.
Yeah, yeah. You see, I think my father got a cart, I'll say. I don't know what sort. I can't remember that. But I remember him going in Hartington with the milk.
You were milking what it ended up being these Frisians. And was your milk mainly going to Hartington then, or was it being...
Oh, no.
It went to
Sheffield.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, right. And then the milk board was taking over, and then these milk... I remember it with churns, milk lorry and churns. Mm. And, of course, they went in bulk tanks.
Then it was all bulk tanks, and then it was all... Yeah. So the farm then, the dairying actually stopped when you were 80.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the end of it.
Yeah.
So it was just you then and your
My brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was... drew the pension, we ought to said, I'm giving over milking, he'll have to give over. Well, he wouldn't have wanted to have done. He'd have wanted to have done same as me eldest brother, my elder brother, Ashbourne. He'd have wanted to have done same as him. I ought to said, I'm drawing the pension, we'll give over milking, but I didn't. I was to blame because I had good health, shall I say. Heavy worked, but I could do it. Until, you know, with the... I had the accident, epilepsy with my case.
Right.
I fell a time or two, and then I was coming from Artington one day from shopping, and these two turns to Sheen come past the first turn and always come to the second turn so we could look with the young cattle in summer. And I'm always used to the second turn. Well, I remember going past that first turn, because my brother said, have you seen that skid mark in the road? And I just hesitated and looked. Of course, went past the second, this dew had come on my head, went down the hill, and the man from the grocery shop come uphill, and he shone his lights and couldn't understand why he hasn't acknowledged him. And I was looking down and got this dew on my head. Of course, I was lucky. I didn't kill anyone and hit the bridge. And if I'd gone in, I should have been killed. Mm. Of course, I got over that, and I was staying to... I don't know whether I'd had another little do or something. I was staying to Stepping Hill Hospital for something anyway. And I was... They gave me my dinner and gone for some pudding, I'll call it. And while they gone for this pudding, I said, I'm going to have one of these do's. Curtains were around me. And I remember this doctor saying, we'd get you better again. I'd had one of these epilepsy do's. And, of course, they found out at Stepping Hill what it was. And of course, I've got to take a tablet morning and night for this epilepsy. And touch wood, I've been well ever since. And
good, good. But I wonder if you could just describe your farm to me. Describe what it was like and how beautiful it was, because I know what a lovely area that is.
Mm. It wasn't modern, and the cows, he cleaned them out, and it was a wheelbarrow, and my father had to fill the muck cart, I'll say, and took it out in fields, in heaps. And that's how you spread it, and then you chain arrowed it. It's very, very old-fashioned, whereas now they'll go with a sprinkler or something, don't they?
So that's what you remember, and you remember it was a very peaceful place, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, very peaceful, yeah. Mm. Mm. Only just walking with the cows on the road, but we knew nothing else. And of course, went to school up the fields, and I know my father's relations were at Warsaw, and went staying with them, and he'd walk from home at Brund, from Sheen, through the fields this way, on your own. It is not safe nowadays to do that, and you'd think nothing about it when you were young. Mm. Mm.
When the tractors came in, did you feel that that was the end of your big involvement with the farm? Did you feel, I know that you did drive a tractor, but did you feel that you didn't have so much of to do on the farming activities once the horses went?
Yeah, once when the horses went, that was it really, because I couldn't drive a tractor very well, but when the brothers went to Ashbourne, I was sort of out to do a bit, and I kept getting more involved and more involved, and of course I got, well, I could drive a tractor well, because my brother, when he had this dementia,
yeah.
I mean, I had to drive the tractor.
What's your best memories of being a young girl on the farm?
Well, with working with the horses. I think working with the horses. They were peaceful then. Mind you, it's peaceful now, perhaps, but it's not the same. I mean, I'm getting 90. I mean, my life's gone. I wonder where it's gone.